Good to be together with the family of God, isn't it? We need to mix with others. We have work, we have school, we have college, we have maybe unsaved families. And it is right that we don't hide ourselves away. If we are full of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're full of life, that should be coming through and that will offend many. But we have opportunities, don't we? And God does give us opportunities, but how precious it is when we can come together as family and just encourage one another and worship the Lord together. That's powerful. That's great. Over the last couple of weeks, Alex has been bringing some teaching, particularly based on Matthew 24. And that chapter talks about the Great Tribulation. It talks about, really about that there will be a separation. There will be a separation. And the parables that surround that chapter, the virgins, the sheep, the goats, the wheat, the tares, there will be a separation. There will be a separation. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of grace. The sheep and the goats, there will be the separation. And it will take place and it will be a solemn, solemn day. I've mentioned to one or two of you, whilst we was in India this year, I've never been able really to tell what is a sheep and what is a goat in India, because basically they all look the same. They do look the same. In this country, particularly in the south, you can tell what a sheep is because they're predominantly the South Down sheep and they've got lots of wool and they're cuddly, whereas a goat is a little bit different. It's not a South Down sheep. You can tell what is a sheep and what is a goat. But in India and in other parts of the world, I recall this particular car travel one day this year. And Rob, our brother Rob, who's not with us today, but they hope to be here on Tuesday at the prayer meeting. Rob said to Pastor Walter Williams, he said, "Can you tell me, are they sheep or are they goats?" Because we couldn't tell. We just could not tell. And Pastor Walter was able to tell because of the way I think they hold their heads or something. But that's about all, you see. So it gives added meaning to this passage. You know, the sheep, God knows who are sheep and who are goats. May we be found as sheep and Jesus our shepherd. This morning, I've entitled the sermon, Heaven Invades. Heaven Invades. Will you turn with me, please, to the first epistle of John? This is our first reading. If you have a church Bible, it's page 1081. First letter of John and chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God for it. Heaven invades. Jesus, the one who is life, who represents life. He is the source of life. He is sovereign over life. He invaded this world. Now we know that this letter of John was written when John was a comparatively old man. He was roughly 90 years old, and he had for about 60 years been observing the church. He'd been looking at the growth of the church. He no doubt had been fascinated by what was happening in the church locally and globally, how Christianity was beginning to spread. And much would have gladdened him, much would have delighted him, but inevitably there were things that concerned him. There were things that bothered him. Now, in this letter of John, we have a good idea of what was on John's heart. We can see something of his burden, something of his desires and hopes. John has a theme running through this letter, and it's really a theme of life and fellowship. Life and fellowship. Right at the beginning of time, there was God. We sang that beautiful hymn, great hymn just now, you know, about the void that there was, and God spoke, and creation took place. And there was Adam, and then there was Eve. There was fellowship between them. God was having fellowship with them. Right at the beginning of time, there was fellowship. There was life. There was unity. Do you know, at the end of time, eternity beckons. Again, there will be life. There will be fellowship. Total, complete paradise. Isn't that amazing? All there's a lot happening in between the beginning and the end. A lot's happening, and we have a part in that. But I would suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that life and fellowship are crucial to the church today. Let us turn to the Gospel of John now. You may want to keep your finger in 1 John, but John's Gospel, and our second reading is taken from chapter 17. And you will know that Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples, with the apostles, and he's sharing some deep things with them. Of course, then he was going to be crucified. And in verse 1 of John chapter 17, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. I really, obviously all of us were, and I'm making an aside here, but we were all touched and shocked by the home call of dear Vrenny, especially at a comparatively young age. But I just couldn't but help marvel at God's grace and how she had completed the work God had given her to do. And when we said goodbye at the church at Watford when I was up there a fortnight ago, it just struck me. She had been faithful to what the Lord had called her to do. And she, I believe, is hearing and will hear, well done, our good and faithful servant. Jesus had completed the work that Father had. And that's our, friends, that's our business. I believe Colin has got to continue that. But for Annie, she's met her Saviour. What a good thing. I've got many regrets. Many, many regrets. Things I can't put right. But I'm thankful for the cleansing of Jesus Christ. And I can live for him today with his life inside me, making a difference, keeping humble before God, and so can you. That's the opportunity and the grace, the love, the wisdom of God. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And then if we just go down to verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Verse 3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Verse 23, I in them, and you in me, they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And brothers and sisters, when this wonderful chapter, which is coming from the heart of Jesus, and it's recorded in Scripture, it's been inspired so that we will take note of it, you and I think we do know that when Jesus said that they may be one, the world may see, he's not talking that we will just take down all denominational barriers, etc., and that we can join, you know, Roman Catholics can join with the Baptists and Pentecostals can join with the Mormons and so on and so forth. He's not talking about that at all. The remnant, that the people who have been bought, the sheep of Christ's fold, may love each other deeply, that the local church may love, that it will be known as a place where there's love, grace, and truth. That's, you know, the devil hates that, but it's so powerful that we may be one. And friends, we've just read, look in verse 3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Verse 4, I in them, and you in me, brother, sister, partakers of the divine nature. Life. Life! He has come that you and I might have life. Abundant life. Life to the full. Eternal life. There's death all around us. Decay all around us. Destruction all around us. Sickness all around us. I have come, if you believe in me, that you might have life. 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 Eternal life. Eternal life. Hallelujah. We are one. As God and Jesus are. So it follows, friends, the followers of God, for the followers of God, life must be in our midst. The life of God, the life of the Holy Spirit must be with us, must be in us, must be in our midst. Why? Let's think about it. There's no darkness around our Lord. Lord, is there? There's no darkness around our Lord. He is the light. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the way. And heaven will be a place of life and fellowship. Heaven will be a place of life. Heaven will be a place of life. Hallelujah. There's no sin there. There's no darkness. There's no death. It's a place of life. It's a place of fellowship. And brothers, if we arrive there by His grace, we will love our Lord with no other agenda. We will be loving Him with pure, unadulterated worship, love and joy. Hallelujah. What is more, life, fellowship, we will be serving one another with not one ounce of selfishness or one-upmanship. We will just want to bless. Have we been born again? Is God's Spirit in us? Have we confessed and repented of our sins? Pleaded, thankful for the blood that does cleanse and cover our sins? Washed by the blood of Jesus so that we are forgiven, made anew. Have we been born again? It means if we have, the Holy Spirit indwells us. Hallelujah! We have life! We have life! If we have not the Holy Spirit, we're not born, we're not of the Lord. We don't have a Heavenly Father. We still have the devil as our dad, which is awful. The Holy Spirit, we are now individually the temples of the Holy Spirit. He indwells us by faith. He indwells us. You are indwelt. Christ living in you, the hope of glory. As we come together, whether it's, say, as we do on a celebration Sunday, or in small groups, or whatever, Christ makes himself a habitation amongst. He is in the midst. This is amazing. Friends, we need to get hold of this. Please, Lord, help us. The life of Christ. You see, we've just read a few verses from John chapter 17. In John chapter 14, Jesus is in the upper room, and as he begins his discourse with his apostles, he's saying, look, I am going to leave you. I am going away. I am going. But don't be troubled about this. I'm going to send the comforter. I'm going to send the counselor. He's saying, I'm sending help. He's saying, I'm sending one like me. One like me. That's what he's done. He kept his promise. This is amazing, friends. The Holy Spirit has come to bring heaven into our hearts. The Holy Spirit has come to bring heaven into our hearts. This is amazing. Friends, what happened under the Old Covenant? In the Old Testament, what happened under the Old Covenant? Well, there's lots of things. But yeah, it came on a few special people at special times for special reasons. Yes. In the Old Covenant, there were many laws. Of course there were. Heaps of laws. Many, many laws. Why were they given? They were given to a particular people, the Israelites. Why? That they would live righteously, differently than the people around them, than the nations around them. They were to be different. So God gave them the laws. Human heart, they couldn't really keep them, and how it grieved God. But he gave them, he wanted a people, his chosen people, to be different, to live for God, to have no other gods, to not intermarry with foreigners, etc., who did not love the Lord, to not have idols to worship. He gave them to be different. They had divine laws to govern them. They had laws to govern them. By the grace of God, And it's all of His grace and mercy. The New Testament church, the New Testament church has the divine law Himself to govern our actions. We have the Lord Himself. We have the Spirit of God who reveals the things of God to us. He is within us, helping, enabling us, convicting us, empowering us. It's not just out, it's within. This is wonderful. So no wonder the Lord says, look, I'm going to send you another comforter, another counselor, to instruct you, to help you, to guide you, to heal you, to comfort you, to give you joy. To give you joy, hope. This is the life of heaven. Heaven has invaded you and me if you are a believer. We may have much tribulation, much trouble, but if heaven has invaded your life, be of good cheer. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. That's where faith kicks into action, friends. What makes heaven, heaven? God is there. The Lord is there. In your presence is fullness of joy. Wonderful. Where God is not present, what do we have? Hell. In heaven, there is wonderful fellowship. Andrew opened up, you know, with that story about chocolate. I can't wait to get there. Life is a vapor, but eternity is never ending. Joy, love, fellowship. If you're not enjoying the Lord now, will you enjoy Him for eternity? We only see darkly at the moment, don't we? We only have glimpses. But hey, one day, fullness of joy. But we can have it, we can experience it now, because heaven is invaded. You, me. It's amazing. See, in heaven, no one bosses it over another. How can they? They only know the presence of the Lord. There's nothing to compete. And we gladly serve one another. What caused Lucifer's downfall? Pride, rebellion. What he wanted to do was rule in hell rather than to serve in heaven. That's the ultimate. Rule in hell rather than to serve in heaven. See, friends, our marriages, our relationships, has heaven invaded them? Is the presence of God there? If not, what is the opposite? You know, we have on the TV all these stupid programs, you know, marriages from hell, holidays from hell. It's awful. You know, I don't go down there. But if you're a believer, marriage should not be hell. No way. If it is, where's the life? Where's the fruit? Oh, we fall, we argue at times, and but the beauty is the forgiveness, isn't it? Saying, I'm so sorry, the hugs and so on. There's release there. That's life. Business, work, school, college, family. Is the life in evidence there? I'm not saying all work is heaven. I'm not saying that. No, it's not that. But we should be making a difference. We should have a different attitude, a different mindset than the world. Because we've been redeemed. We have the life of God. Hallelujah. We're different. We're not better in ourselves. Some of us realize just how, you know, poor and wretched we are in ourselves. But God has made the difference. Hallelujah. And this should be our condition. God, our Father. We just read these wonderful words from 1 John.
chapter 1. Amazing words. That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Who will be the greatest person in heaven? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That's who we will want to see, friends. What was Jesus known for on earth? Lots of things. But one of the things he went after, he was a servant. He was a servant. I've come not to lord it over you. I've not come to be so. I've given my life as a ransom. I've come to serve. We see demonstration of that, don't we? You know, when he washed the disciples' feet. We see it after his resurrection, when he cooked fish for his disciples. Serving, serving, serving. A servant life. Fellowship. Brothers, sisters, are we known for our servant hearts now? Or do we do things just as long as we're noticed and recognised? Is the Spirit of Heaven filling this church, this fellowship? Because if it is, it must make a difference to the community around us. Is heaven filling this church? Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. This is life. Amazing. Friends, if we've been called by God's grace, if we've been called and to be a separate people, a people who know that Christ lives in them, that they have a destiny, we should know that we're here to make a difference. We have been placed on earth to be a little sample of heaven. You are placed on earth to be a sample of heaven. This fellowship should be like heaven. To show forth what his kingdom is like. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Jesus said, my kingdom is within you. My kingdom is among you. We're here to show forth his kingdom. Heaven invading. Hallelujah. To demonstrate the life, the power, the humility, the compassion, the truth of Jesus Christ. Selfless love. Heaven is like that. Friends, we call on Christ to send forth his Spirit, his glory, don't we? We sometimes sing, send your power, O Lord. Great song. What do we say? Heaven come down. He has come down. Yes, I need more of the Holy Spirit. I need continually to be transformed by Jesus. But I should be doing God's work, me cooperating with the Lord, changing glory into glory, becoming more Christ-like. We call on Christ then to send his glory, his power. Hallelujah. We're talking about heaven coming into our midst. What a gracious God he is. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus didn't just have a sermon. He was the sermon. He didn't just talk about love. He fed the hungry. He ministered to the sick. He lifted the fallen. He cast out demons. He didn't just visit. He dwelt. And now let this mind be in you. Jesus says, follow me. And talk about a spiritual warfare. Do you know, about a quarter of Jesus' ministry was spent on casting out demons, confronting the devil. About a quarter of it was. Jesus was God, yes, we know that, but he was human on earth. He was dependent on the Lord. That's why he got up before dawn. That's why he spent all nights in prayer. That's why he did it and we don't. Maybe. May God help us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look how God manifested himself on earth. Through Jesus. Through Jesus. Hallelujah. But Jesus is no longer here. So how is he now demonstrating himself? Through his people, through his church. He the head, we the body. Life! Life! Beautiful, wonderful. And we are partakers in his divine life. Hallelujah. Are others seeing this life? God help us. He does want to help us. We will not be perfect, friends, until we reach glory. We won't. And that's why we should be operating in grace, love, and truth. But our motives should be sincere and right. Our motives should be glorifying the Lord and blessing others. If you are religious but not partaking in his divine life, you're still missing the mark. We need to examine ourselves. May heaven come down. Brothers, sisters, aged and young, are we willing to confess, to repent, to forsake all that hinders true life? The preaching here, the pastoral conversations, the prophetic ministry and teaching, it will stir people up, either to embrace true life or retreat into perhaps religious hogwash. I'm not doing you any favours, Alex is not doing you any favours, Mark is not doing you any favours if we as a fellowship retreated into half-heartedness, lukewarmness, religious, if there was gossiping in the church, if there was adultery going on in the church, we'd be doing you no favours if we did not deal with it from the word of God with all long suffering. If heaven is going to invade us, it means that this same purifying work of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is also described as fire, purifies, cleanses, it will have two results, two effects. One, and this is what I pray for, and I believe the church is praying for it, it will result in repentance and the blessed results of becoming clean with the Lord and in fellowship with one another, because heaven is invaded, the life of God has been allowed to manifest himself within us, because we've recognized we've come short. We've fallen, we've gossiped, we've lusted, we've withheld. We've repented and received the mercy of God, and there's tremendous release. The backbiting is gone. We are not listening. Friends, if you want to gossip, think carefully the words you say. Think carefully, because we're going to have to give an account to the Lord. So our prayer is that there will be a humbling before God. He is so longing to forgive. So longing. He's so longing. But if it's not repentance, then there will be offence. There will be offence. My heart's desire and the elders' desire is for the heaven's glory, heaven's life, heaven's power to invade us. There will be a cost. There will be a cost. May we all, you know the example of Ruth in the Old Testament? What was Ruth known for? A loyalty. Wasn't she? Ah, this is my family. I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to leave your God. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise be to God. This is the Lord's family. I want to love, and I want to also stand in the gap until heaven invades. The Word of God says, confess your faults one to another, that you may be healed. That's in James chapter 5. Confess your faults. What does it say? Not confess your mate's faults. Confess your faults, you will be healed. If you're confessing your mate's faults, if you're causing trouble within the church, gossiping, backbiting, you will not be healed. That's what the Word of God will say. Love one another. Forgive one another as you have been forgiven. Heaven will invade us. And we'll be a powerful proclamation of the Lord's power and glory. We'll have a message in school, college, at work, in the neighbourhoods. Because heaven has invaded. I've been forgiven much, friends. So I ought to be able to forgive others. Many are spending their lives in dry places, just as the Israelites did. You know, they had been set apart. God was upon them. And they spent how many years in dry wilderness land? 40 years. Because they were deep. Are some on dry ground even today because they haven't allowed heaven to invade their lives? Let us throw out everything that hinders. How badly do you want heaven to invade your life? How badly do you want heaven to invade this church, this neighbourhood? Faith is born even in the storm. May God help us. Amen. Lord, I pray that you will forgive anything that's said amiss, but that your Holy Spirit will convince us of your truth. Thank you, Lord. You have come to give life. We thank you that you manifested yourself in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have poured out your Holy Spirit. But Lord, we're saying, please, heal us of our backsliding. We want to return to you. Help us to love as you have loved. Help us always to speak it in truth. But Lord, help us to speak the truth in love. Help us that we will be known as disciples, as followers of Jesus, full of life, full of grace, full of the Holy Spirit. One day, Lord, we want to see you face to face. I don't want to be ashamed at your coming, Lord, but I want to look and long for your appearing. That is my hope. That is our blessed hope. Looking and longing for your appearing. That one day in heaven, eternal bliss, eternal joy, serving each other. Help us, Lord, to put these things into practice now. We need you, Lord, we need you. But we thank you that you are greater than any work of the evil one. That you are greater because you are in us, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Thank you for your word, Lord, that says we can do all things. Why? Because the light, heaven has invaded. You strengthen us. We thank you that we can be more than conquerors. Why? Because heaven is invaded. You love us. And we're giving you the freedom to work in and through us as individuals, in our marriages, in our singleness, in our homes, in our schools, in our colleges, in our youth groups, in our coffee times, in our businesses. Thank you.